In the spring of 2011, wealthy New York heiress Huguette Clark died. She was the last daughter of William Andrews Clark, the mining mogul of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, who gave his name to Clark County, Nevada. William Andrews Clark was one of the wealthiest men of his time. He became a patron of the arts. He built a 121-room mansion on Fifth Avenue. But despite her family's wealth, Huguette Clark led a very sheltered, even cloistered life and spent the last years living in a hospital room where nurses and her lawyer and accountant acted as gatekeepers. It's a very strange life, and it's told in a new book by Merrill Gordon, The Phantom of Fifth Avenue, The Mysterious Life and Scandalous Death of Huguette Clark. And Merrill Gordon joins us now. Merrill, welcome to KNPR.
Well, thank you, Dave. I really appreciate it.
As you began looking into it, into this story of Huguette Clark, what did you see?
Well, initially, nobody knew very much about her other than the fact that she'd been in the hospital, and I was wondering whether it was going to be impossible to actually write about a recluse. But I got lucky relatively early on with a couple of exclusive interviews. She had an assistant, Christopher Sattler, who worked for her for 20 years and talked to her, visited her in the hospital. And then the other person who was terrific was Huguette's goddaughter, Wanda Stika. Wanda's father, Tade Stika, was a very famous portrait painter who had painted Huguette's father, the senator, 11 times, painted Huguette and her sister and her mother, and eventually became Huguette's painting teacher. They were very close. They were good friends, and it turned out that his daughter had saved his appointment calendars from the 1930s and 40s. And what I love discovering is that while everybody thinks that Huguette was a recluse, during that period, she was out on the town virtually every night. She was dancing at the Rainbow Room at the Waldorf. She was going to the Ziegfeld Follies to see Josephine Baker. She went to the 1939 World's Fair. She went to operas and theaters. And so she really had a very different life for a number of years before she withdrew.
It seems like it makes Huguette Clark a real one-of-a-kind character to study.
I was very lucky last fall. The administrators for Huguette's estate allowed me access to 75 boxes of documents taken from her apartment. And they were her diary from when she was a teenager, her sister's diary, family letters between the senator and his wife going back to the 1917-1918. It was also an enormous amount of material. Huguette was a pack rat. She saved absolutely everything. She saved receipts from Cartier. She saved notes she sent to her maid to have them go out and buy groceries, raspberries in winter. So you were able really to track a tremendous amount of Huguette's life.
Did you find that she lived a life of wealth and opulence at all stages? And was that part of what made her eccentric, especially in her later years?
She could afford to do anything she wanted to do. So she was totally obsessed with her doll collection. And she would commission special dolls and castles from Japan that could take years. She was perfectionist about the 18th of an inch kind of things. So she really splurged on that. She bought art, not in her later years, but her younger years. She bought Degas and Renoirs and wonderful paintings. She liked to give money to people who worked for her. So she wrote very generous checks to the staff at the hospital, her nurses and doctors, but also the craftsmen who worked on her projects. And she was the kind of person, if she saw a hard luck story on the news, she would give money anonymously. She wanted to ease people. It was almost, her father, it was interesting, her father was total penny pincher, really thought people were out to cheat him all the time. He once missed three subway trains in New York because he was mad he'd lost a penny in a gumball machine. There were a lot of stories at that point. They couldn't believe that one of the richest men in America would be upset over a penny. It was almost as if Huguette felt guilty about the money. When people thanked her sometimes, she'd say, "Don't thank me. I never earned anything. It was my father's money."
Well, which leads us to William Andrews Clark. He, as you noted, was fabulously wealthy. Huguette herself was born in the early 20th century, and her father, William Andrews Clark, was what, in his 70s at that time, I think. Kiri had married a much younger woman. That created some scandal at the time. What was that scandal?
Well, his wife died in 1893, Kate, his first wife. He'd had seven children, but four had survived till adulthood. She went to the Columbia Exposition in Chicago. She caught typhoid fever, and she died. And shortly after that, he was back home in Butte, and And there are many different versions of the story, but he met at that point Anna LaChapelle. She was 15 years old. He was 54, 39-year age difference. First, he agreed to send her to boarding school where his daughters had gone in Montana. And then after she graduated and she was interested in learning the harp, he sent her to Paris. He also was helping support her family, sending her father to medical school, her sister to secretarial school. Anna lived in Paris for almost somewhere close to 15 years, and she had a daughter. The couple had a daughter, Andre, but no one knew they were married. He didn't even tell the four children from his first marriage that they were that they had a half sibling.
So why did he not tell them that?
Well, it was odd. He could have married Anna at any time. They were both single, but he was running for Senate. Maybe he thought, which he, as you know, a complicated story, but he eventually did become a senator. Only after he had been in the Senate for a couple of years did he decide to announce that he had been married. He said he claimed he'd been secretly married and had a two-year-old child. As you can imagine, newspapers across America thought that was pretty funny, that a senator had a secret marriage and a two-year-old. Nobody believed it. But nonetheless, he didn't seek re-election, so the voters never really got to say what they thought.
So what kind of a father was William Andrews Clark to Huguette?
That was one of the most fascinating things for me in terms of reading the archive and reading his letters both to Huguette and Andre, and also Huguette's letters to his father. He was always described as this very cold, calculating, difficult man, but he was a man besotted with his family. He was still writing love letters to his second wife, Anna, 25 years later, my darling Cherie and my dear. And he, Huguette, had a very sort of playful relationship. I mean, she joked in letters to him that she was studying her arithmetic really hard so she could become his bookkeeper someday.
We are talking to Merrill Gordon. Her new book is called The Phantom of Fifth Avenue. It recounts the strange life of Huguette Clark. She was the New York heiress and youngest daughter of William Andrews Clark, the mining mogul for whom Clark County, Nevada is named. Now, he was particularly worried about Huguette because she was still a teen when he was very close to the end of his life. What did he tell her about being careful of suitors?
Well, his oldest daughter, Mary, had married three times, and the first two marriages ended in divorce and scandal. She had to pay off the ex-husbands. Her third marriage, which was really right at her father's deathbed, also didn't end well. And the senator was very worried about Huguette. She was young, she was shy, she was a little unworldly, and he began to warn her that no one will ever love you for yourself. They're going to love you for your money. And while he meant that to be protective, it obviously left tremendous scars on her. It made her hard for her to trust other people.
But then she ended up, after his death, ended up having a suitor. She was engaged to Bill Gower. Tell us about that courtship and that wedding.
Bill Gower's father had worked for the senator, so in a way he was pre-approved in some ways. And they were married. It was sort of a sudden wedding in Santa Barbara. She had been a bridesmaid at many of her friends' very elaborate weddings in New York, but the marriage to Gower was a very small wedding. She gave him $1 million as a dowry, which $1 million was a lot of money back in 1928. And 9 months later, they separated. There was an interesting letter, again in the archive, from William Gower to Huguette's mother saying he was so deeply sorry that things had not worked out and that he worried about losing the family's friendship and that he felt badly about it. I mean, the surprise was that later in life, he and Huguette became friendly again. They wrote letters to each other. From what you can tell, he was living in France at that point, but he actually came to New York, and there were letters back and forth of, call me when you get here. They had very affectionate friendship later on in their life.
As things went sour with the wedding to William Gower, Huguette Clark went to Reno via Santa Barbara to establish residency so she could get a divorce in Nevada in a relatively short period of time. She never really fitted into the ranch life around Reno, did she?
Oh, the newspapers had a field day because she rented the entire floor of a hotel. She came with an entourage, her mother, her dogs, her social secretary. And there were a lot of stories about, you know, who does she think she is, that most rich people will make themselves, you know, or out and about or hanging out with other women on the ranch like the Claire Booth Luce play the women, but Huguette really did keep to herself. I think one of the keys to understanding Huguette is that her father really was one of the most famous men in America at that point. When he would get off a boat, there would be reporters waiting. When he would, you know, bid up a painting at an auction, there would be stories. And so Huguette and her sister really grew up in the light of the paparazzi and flashbulbs. And there are all these pictures of her when she was a little girl in which the family is posing and she is looking away from the camera. So she never enjoyed that kind of attention and fled from it whenever possible.
But did this failed marriage sour Huguette on men?
A number of stories have suggested that she really was upset by sex on her wedding night, and she told that to her nurses later on. But she did have other men in her life. There was a French count, and again, there was also her painting teacher, who she had a huge crush on. So she never remarried, but there were, for a number of years, men she cared about.
Speaking of that painting teacher, do you think her real passion was her painting teacher, Tadej Stikl?
I really do. From the letters she wrote to him and the playful relationship that they had with one another, he was older than her, but he would tease her. He would play practical jokes on her, and they had a betting game. They would bet dimes on various things. He kept a whole drawer of dimes of things he'd won from her. One year she was working on a painting, and he made an exact replica. And when she came in on April 1st, there was a tear in the painting. He said, "Oh, my God, look at the terrible thing that happened to your painting." And there she's looking at it, and then he said April Fool's and showed her that he had actually mimicked her painting. Every year they would be apart for a couple of months. She would go to California. He would go to Europe. He eventually fell in love with a beautiful fashion model, but he dated both Huguette and the model for 8 years, for quite a long time, before he eventually married the fashion model. And Huguette stayed close to them and became the godmother to their child.
Now that you've concluded the biography of Huguette Clark, do you think that she was a psychologically damaged person?
I think you have to. I mean, if you really think about someone who would cut themselves off from the world for so many years, you have to assume that something was going on in her life, in her mind, that made her fearful to leave, whether it was fear of getting germs and dying, which had happened to her sister, whether it was something about being heartbroken by her early marriage and, you know, feeling that she would never really find the kind of love she might have hoped for. She was eccentric is the best way of putting it.
So do you think that there is ultimately a moral to this story?
This may be the toughest question I've been asked so far. I think it's that money can separate you from the world, that money can be a wonderful thing to have. I mean, it allows you to all sorts of privileges, but it can also make it hard to relate to other people. It can make you not trust the world. And so in a funny way, it's both that it helps you and it hurts you at the same time.
Meryl Gordon's new book is called The Phantom of Fifth Avenue. It's the strange life of Huguette Clark, the New York heiress and youngest daughter of William Andrews Clark, the mining mogul for whom Clark County, Nevada is named. Meryl Gordon, thank you so much for being with us.
This was terrific. Thank you.